Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing can pluck us from your hands. Nothing. Father God, we give you the praise. You are good. You are wonderful. We keep saying, who are we that you are so mindful of us? Who are we? Thank you, Jehovah, that you have decided to make us yours, mere dust. Continue to do what you're doing in our lives, Lord. And let your name continually be glorified in our individual lives, in our families, and in heaven's glorious embassy. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please have your seats. Our God has been good to us, and I'm glad that you know it. Before I say any other thing, I would like to acknowledge the man of God that we have, that we call our pastor. He is a good man. He is a good man. And he's not in the house today because duty calls. He's in charge of some parishes. We are a provincial headquarter, and he's in charge of some of the parishes, and one of them needed him, so he is there. So here I am to tell you what the Lord says. I would encourage you to listen, to receive, to utilize, so that your lives will be transformed in such a way that none of us will miss that wonderful kingdom that is being prepared for us. In Jesus' name. The word that I have today, it's a word that I believe you have heard in different ways, but I'm believing God that it will make a change, will bring about a change in your lives, and you will not go back the way you have come. In Jesus' name. So the topic for today is indelible footprints. Indelible footprints. Prince. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that ye may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Most of the readings that I will be reading today will be taken from the New King James Version. Again, 2 Timothy 1:5 says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. But I like the standard, English Standard Version that says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Proverbs 22:1 clearly says that a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. Brethren, as children, we came into this world and we find that there are prints that have been set, and we put our tiny steps into those prints that have been left by our ancestors. And whether we know it or not, even as we step into the prints and we're walking, the print is becoming more dented. And those that are coming behind us will also step into those prints and make it even more dented. So, every one of us, we are stepping into footprints. As children, we step into the footprints of our ancestors, and as we grow, we kind of deviate a bit, and we find ourselves stepping into other footprints. The teachers that teach us. We go to school, the professors, and eventually we start working. And we are stepping into prints and making our own dents in those prints. The question that I would like us to ask ourselves: how well are we doing that? Because every one of those prints are indelible. They are indelible. You cannot erase them. You cannot blot them away. No ink or no eraser you have can kind of make them invisible. But they are there, though invisible to others, to people, to you. But they are there and very real. Until we receive and acknowledge Jesus Christ, acknowledge the sacrifice, we will find that the prints that we are stepping into and the prints that we are making for people to step into might not take us to an expected end. So I give God the glory because Jesus came that we might have life, an abundant life. He has made us that chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. But even in the Lord, there are struggles. We are struggling on how we can have that identity that has been given to us by Jesus. And because as adults we are struggling, our children are struggling. We are one thing at home, another thing in the church, another thing in the office. So in the minds of the children that we are grooming, there's so much confusion. There is so much confusion. So today, I have three simple headings, and I pray that the Lord will use them to speak to every one of us. God wants to remind you of who you are. You knew who you were before you came into this world. But as you came, you grew up realizing that this world is pretty chaotic. And you have lost your identity. And the footprints that you stepped into are not prints that will lead you to a path whereby you will be able to go back to the Lord that has sent you. So the question this morning is, who am I? Indelible footprints. Who am I? Am I who my parents say I am? Because when they gave birth to me, they gave me beautiful names. Ibifobara, a child that has come with a lot of luck. Dayeba, the daughter of the father. Other people said Enibibi, and that is a day that is continually good. I even heard one that says Krosimba. That is the daughter of the strong stick. All kinds of names have been given to us. But are we those names? I am a therapist. Is that who I am? I'm a mother. Really? Yeah, because I gave birth to children. But before a mother, I was a daughter, a sister, cousin, wife. At a point, I thought I was a scientist. And it has moved on and moved on and moved on. But are all those different names who I am? Who am I? And I want you to ask yourself the same question. People know you by your profession. Your children know you as their mother. Your husband knows you as his spouse, or your wife knows you as his spouse. But who are you? What prints are you leaving? What prints have you stepped into? You need to know. Do you know that even Moses was a little confused when God called him? In Exodus 3, 11 and 12, it says, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Who am I? I grew up in that household. I know that I grew up, but who am I that I should go to him and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God on this mountain. And when you're doing that, you will be able to get your identity. Moses did not know who he was. We are living in an age where there is so much identity crisis. Children are born as men. Then they decide, oh no, I'm not a man, I'm a woman. And they will go and change their identity. Women are born, or girls are born as women. Oh no, I don't like this sex. I prefer to be a man. Society allows them to change who they are. But the people that they change themselves into, are they really those people? So do you understand what I'm saying? There is so much confusion. What we see, we can talk about. But let us look inwards. Do you know who you are? Who am I? Research, positive psychology, it says that when you know your strength, and use them daily, you'll be a happier person. and you have a better self-esteem, and you'll be able to complete your goals. So it is important for you to identify your strength. Okay, now you have identified your strength, but does it still tell you who you are? Your strength is that you know science. You can build anything. You have 6 figures every year, money coming into your account. You look into your bank account and you say, yeah, I'm making it. But is that really you? Who am I? For 2 Corinthians makes it very clear in chapter 5, verse 17, that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So I'm asking you this morning, are you really in Christ? Because if you are not in Christ, you are still the old you to start with. And the old us, there is no hope for us. The only hope that we have is in Christ Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our only hope. If you don't know him, I believe that by the time we're done, you will know who he is. So, your new beginning starts by receiving Jesus. Who am I? The Bible also tells me in Matthew 5, 13 to 17, says, ye, are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. He says again, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So, brethren, verse 16 says, so let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The life that you live, does it give glory to God? We're talking about indelible footprints. Does your life, people that come across you, do they feel, I'm in the right place. I am associating with the right kind of person. Do you have light that is shining? Have you actually received Jesus and that light in him? In fact, we're coming to that. Let me not go ahead of me. In our lives, people have impacted us in different ways. As a child, when I got to know me, life wasn't so good. Life wasn't so good. I was in the Civil War. Before the Civil War came in, my grandmother was my mentor. She was my bestest friend. But before her, I had my maternal grandmother that I stayed for a very short while before she passed. She was my mentor first, then she passed. But she taught me how to cook. At age 8, I started cooking. I watched her. I put my little feet into her prints, and I would stay there, and I would just watch and watch and watch. One day she went, she told me to, with my little hands, prepare ingredients for soup. Tita was her name. She wasn't coming. I don't know what delayed her. So I said, you know, my little sister, who was about 2, 3, she was hungry, and I was 7. We're 4 years gap. I said, what do I do? I need to feed this girl. So I just did what I saw my grandmother do. pack everything and put inside the pot. And it boiled. And when it boiled, it turned out to be soup. And I fed my little sister. By the time she came, we had eaten. She said, "Who cooked?" I said, "I did." That soup did not last that day. She took it and gave to everybody that see my what my grandmother daughter had cooked. I watched and I copied her, and it turned out well. By the time she passed, and when I was transferred to my paternal grandmother, and she became my best friend, and she taught me, and she taught me, and she taught me. As young as I was feeding about 18 people in the household. As young as I was, because I was watching her. And I'm telling you, in watching her, that brought about my salvation. Because I was in the kitchen when the bomb that eventually killed her was thrown in the market square. I was in the kitchen. Indelible impact. Then I got to know my mother at age 11. And then she started teaching me. Out of all her 9 children, I was the only one in her class. Beautiful, wonderful mom. She never spanked any of us at home. Only me at school, because I was too playful. I never did my homework, and she would spank me. But there was a prayer that mom taught us. Let us see it. One of her indelible footprints to me, or to us, her children, and I have passed it on. God, make my life a little light within the world to glow, a little flame that burneth bright wherever I may go. She taught me, she taught all her children. And I said it every day, and I'm still saying it today. As I was growing up, I found myself prefect in school. As everywhere I went, I was on top. And I can say it because of the prayer that my mom taught me. Indelible footprints. As I got older, I said, this prayer that mom prayed, you know, Google is so wonderful. I said, let me Google it. I Googled it. And I found out that there were 4 verses. And out of the 4 verses, I picked one. And that helped me and has been helping me. If you have received email from me, it is there. God, make my life a little staff whereon the weak may rest, that so what health and strength I have may serve my neighbor's best. I have it in all my emails, and those that are associated to me, they are picking it up. Indelible footprints. What kind of footprints are you setting? As I was struggling with education, it's like, by the way, I did not know how to read till 11. That was when I started reading because of the war. So everything I saw, I wanted to read. So I was struggling. And eventually I graduated at 22 with a first degree biochemistry. But my mother taught me something. She said, the height of great men, reached and kept, were not obtained by sudden flight, but they, while their companions slept, were toiling upwards in the night. And I kept it, and I kept it, until today, night time is my best walking time. Indelible footprints. And this woman I'm talking about, she went back to school at 54, got her first degree, got her master's. And she had to beg her husband to leave her so that she can enjoy life before she dies. Brethren, what footprints are you leaving? I am telling you what my mom has left, but what are you leaving? Jesus has shown us the importance of knowing who we are. He said, I am the bread of life. If you come to me, you will never hunger. People that come to you, can they say that? I will never hunger because I know this person. You are supposed to be a Christian. Behave like Christ. He says here again, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. People that associate with you, can they say, ah, this person has helped me in such a way that my eyes have opened to see the path that I should go? Because that is what you're expected to do. Because Jesus has shown you the way to go. He says, I am the gate for the sheep. Can people actually depend on you that when they associate with you, that they will be secure, that they will be protected, that you will not expose them when they tell you the little secrets that they have? He says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I have laid my life down for the sheep. Can anybody say that about any of us? That we so care that we put our needs behind and take care of others. We are Christians. We're talking about indelible footprints. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Without Christ, there is no resurrection. There is no resurrection. How many people have you, as a Christian, invited to Jesus so that they can receive what you have, so that they too will have everlasting life? How many people? Indelible footprints. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. By the way, when people hear you speak, is it the truth? Can they say that the path that they are following, the one that you're leading and they are following, because we have head of departments here, and then you have people under you, the way you're telling them to go, are you sure you're not leading them into danger? Are you leading them aright? I'm not talking about your family now. Even people in the church, when they come to you, when Jesus says, don't do this, they go to your house and that's the opposite you're doing. Is that the way to go? Is that the footprint that you're leaving? Ask yourself. Jesus said, I am the vine, the true vine. And God is the gardener. He says, you are the branches. You are attached to me. If you are taken away, you will have no life. But then, if you're not bearing fruit, the gardener will take you away. How much fruit are you bearing? Indelible footprints we're talking about. Are you bearing fruit? Are you stuck to the vine? God will help us in Jesus' name. Who are you? I want to tell you, before I go on that, whether you like it or not, bad companies will ruin you. So who are your friends? So now, okay, now you know who you are. The next question is, okay, I know who I am. What do I have? I know who I am, but what do I have? Sometimes people are back home, when my first parish, as a parish mother, I started hearing Akaharadite. You know? I said, Akaharadite. I know Igbo was my first language. For the first 8 years of my life, I was speaking Igbo, no other language. I know Aka. What is the Haradite in Aka? You know, so it had to be a Haradite is a glue. That when it sticks to you, So there are some people, no matter what, they cannot give. Pastor last week was talking about giving. There are some people that called and said, ah, mommy, our pastor said, so, what do you want? I said, let the Holy Spirit tell you. And I want to take this opportunity to thank especially one family that took care of us throughout COVID. Every month I had supply throughout COVID. Chicken or rice, so the toilet roll you people were looking for, I had it boku in my house. You know, I mean, you just name it. One family in this church did that for us throughout COVID. Indelible impact. God will bless you. You will never lack anything in Jesus' name. We have prayed for you, and I know our God has answered your prayers. We pray for every one of you. All of you have touched us in different ways, but I just have to say something about this awesome family. One family that took care of pastors' need throughout. There was nothing that they did not bring to us. What do I have? A lot of people say, I have nothing. The salary service is not enough for me. And now pastor wants us to give. Eh? I can't even feed my family, and the pastor wants me from what I have to give. And he gave us the example of the man of God that said, feed me first. But let's put that aside. What do I have? I want to tell you that you are loaded. God has not sent any of us here empty. Every one of us, we are what? We are loaded. In Exodus 4, 2 to 4, God asked our big father, Moses. He says, what is in your hands? When he was so confused about who he was. And he said, a rod. For God, that was enough. He said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. Who likes snake? Me, I don't too. And Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Whenever I read that one, I say, Jesus, how can I touch a snake? Even the toy one, I cannot touch. But you see, sometimes what we have is what God is going to use, and we don't know how he's going to use it. What do you have in your hand? Even 2 Kings 4, 1 and 2, remember the woman who went to the man of God, Elisha, and said, you know what? I have nothing. My husband is dead, and they're about to take my children. And he told her, I'm not going to read it, but he told her, he asked again, what do you have? And she said, this is the only thing I have. This is the only thing I have. Just some oil. Just some oil. And he said, okay, no problem. Go get as many vessels as you can. He said, not just a few. Get a lot of vessels. And she did. And he said, pour the oil that you have. That little oil. Fill all the vessels. Obedience is awesome. And she obeyed. And by the time all the vessels were filled up, she went to him and she told, well, first of all, she asked her son, bring more. And the son said, finished, no more vessel. And the Bible said the oil stayed. The oil stopped. Can you imagine if the son had not said that? Wow. But she became an oil merchant. Because the man of God said, go sell and pay your debts, and you and your sons live on the rest. So all their lives, they lacked nothing. God will only use what you have. What do you have? What do you have? With what you have to do something. What do you have to do? Say, what do I do? Okay, I have this. What do I do? Brethren, stop hoarding it. Stop hoarding what you have, because I've said it here before. My grandmother, my paternal grandmother, as young as I was, I still remember, she said, your hand should not be like this. always like this. Why? Because God will put it. Those under will get from it because it will be going down. And you will have plenty. Excuse me. And you will have plenty. Brethren, please stop closing your hands. Because God is not going to be able to put anything in there. You have to let go of what you have. In Romans 12, 2, in fact, I'll take it from 1. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, thank you, choir, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And he says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a mind thing. It has to start here. Renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Until you change your mind, until you make up your mind that I will not go and see that girl. She is not my wife. I will not go there. I will not eat this because it's not good for me. I will not drink this because it's not for the priest. Until you change your mind. Remember, God so loved the world that what? He sacrificed. That you are seated here is a sacrifice. So if God can sacrifice, why can't you sacrifice? Why can't you sacrifice? You think coming to church is a sacrifice? You live your life and do whatever you want, and you come to church on Sunday, and you think that is a sacrifice? Mbao. You have to do more than this. We're talking about what you can do to leave an indelible footprint. You have to make a sacrifice. Is sacrifice jolly, jolly? Sacrifice is what? It's painful. It's painful. God will help us in Jesus' name. You need to let go. You need to sacrifice. God will take whatever you have let go. He will work on it and he will give it back. But until you let it go, he can't work on it. And you will continue just marking time, as Pastor would say. Let go. Like God told Moses, cast it on the ground. And then he took it up again. And so it shall be. When you let go of that precious thing that you're holding on to, God is going to give it back. I promise you, he will. He does. I have tasted it. It works. Praise the Lord. That same rod paved the way. The indelible footprint. Prince and impact to the promised land of the children of Israel. That same rod that he let go, that God transformed. Hallelujah. So please, brethren, do your best, your very best, to present yourself to God as a workman that does not need to be ashamed, a workman approved of God. It is not easy. Some people say, how do you do it? I don't know how I do it. I don't know how Pastor does it. I have my secular work. At least by the grace of God, I see 6-7 clients a day. I have to do the Lord's work. I have to take care of my family. And I make sure I don't forget me, by the way. I have a me time too. And that me time, I take it very serious. Before, I used to let myself go. But now, I have found that it's important to have a me time. So God is not telling you not to enjoy yourself. Oh God, I have to just say this because we laugh about it in my house, you know, but it may be funny because I just turn things to joke. I love going and making my nails, you know. That is part of my me time. I never used to, but I realized that I looked at my sister's hands and it's always, you know, I said, me too. So me too, I started making my nails. So my daughter, one of them said, Mommy, what about your feet? I said, okay. I will go to them and I would say, I want only one leg done. Praise the Lord. Honestly speaking, let us enjoy life, but let us enjoy it in a good way. Make positive impact. Amen? Amen. The Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all. How many of you can say that? Some of you are not even sure. Go on, say it to yourself. Now, I want you to say it with an attitude. Go on, say it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And with that, you can definitely make an indelible impact, indelible footprints that people will be so happy to follow you. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Hallelujah. So now, oh yes, oh my goodness, time has gone. There is a word for those that feel, I'm okay. I don't even know what she's talking about. I'm okay. 1 Timothy 6. It says here, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. This life is not the end of life. There is a future life. So don't think that your money that you're enjoying here is going to take you to the future life. It is not. It is not. It is not. Matthew, in conclusion, Matthew 28, 18 to 20 says, and Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Brethren, please let us just know that we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. Let us make sure that the footprints that we're leaving, because we're all on our way out. We're on our way out. I look at myself and I say, whoa, girl, you're aging. Honestly speaking, we're on our way out. And we have to make sure that we end up right. And that is why Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. It says here, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. That is from a great apostle. Let us heed. Let us heed. Time is short. So many things are happening. We don't know how much time we have. But peradventure, we live long. Let us make sure that we have the right prints for those that are coming behind us to step into. Let us not lead them astray. And if you think now that these words have ministered to you, I will encourage you to just bow and say, Father, help me. I need your help. I need your help to be able to do what I'm supposed to do at all times. And if you are here and you have never actually received Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, I'm telling you, you're still walking in the prints of your ancestors. There is no future there. The only one that we have that will lead us to eternity is Jesus. And if you want to step into those prints, why not just raise your hand and wave to the Lord and say, Father, here is my hand. I want to walk in your prints. You can do it. This is the day of salvation. And the funniest thing is, until you ask, you cannot receive it. So if I were you, maybe you got born again and you backslid. This is the day of salvation. Talk to the Lord and say, Father God, please forgive me. Have mercy, mercy, mercy on me. I want to start all over again. I want to start all over again. I want to live the way you want me to live. Help me, Lord. So please raise your hand to the Lord if you want to make that change. If you want to start afresh, he wants to start with you. Nobody's looking at you. Guess what? On that day, it's only you and the Lord. You cannot say, I didn't put up my hand because I thought people were staring at me. It's you and God. So just put your hand up, put it down. He sees it. He sees it. He will not only look into your heart. He wants to see that hand up and down. Because I want to pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name. Now I want us to rise up. Because we're not going to pray after church. So we're going to pray. We're going to pray. First of all, we're going to thank God for the word. Let us thank God for the word. He is so mindful of us. He really wants to bring a change in our lives. So just go ahead and say, Father, I thank you for reminding me of who I am. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me that I have something. Thank you, oh Lord God, for telling me that a lot can happen with what I have. Just go ahead and thank God. Thank God. Even as you thank God, ask him to help you. Help. Just ask for help. 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 I don't want to waste this life that you have given to me. Father God, I don't want to waste. When I'm gone, I want people to look back and say, yes, this woman impacted my life. Why not just go ahead and pray and pray and pray? Because you want people to say, this man impacted my life. Why not just go ahead and ask for help? Because that's the life you want to live. Ask God to help you. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Why not just go ahead and ask God? Ask God. Ask God. This is the day of salvation. This is the day he wants to turn things around for you. It is when you ask, ask him to help you. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Question, and you will answer it in prayers. What positive impact, what positive footprint do you want to leave behind? Why not talk to the Lord about it? Who are the people you want to impact? Why not talk to the Lord about it? Go ahead, talk to the Lord. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. But God can turn things around just like that. Ask God to have mercy, to forgive, and help you to make a positive, indelible impact. A positive, indelible footprint is what you want to leave behind. Time is short. Time is short. We don't know how much time we have. Let us pray for God to help us so that when we face Him on that day, it will be well done. He will invite us into His joy. Let us just ask God to help us. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Technical, please help me to put that prayer, "God, make my life a little light," on the screen. God, make my life a little light. Let's read it together. God, make my life a little light within the world to glow. A little flame that burneth bright wherever I may go. Now go on, turn it into a prayer now. Leave it on for them to see. Turn that into a prayer. Let God make your life a little light that wherever you go, you will be able to glow, 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 light in darkness. In the mighty name of Jesus. Kurabasi naramanaraba, kurabaseke menaraba. Enaraba kurabaseke menaraba, kurabasi naramanarabo. Herabaseke menaramanaraba. Herabaseke bokurabasan naramanaraba. Enaraba kurabasan naramanarabo. Oh, Father, continue to make my life a little light, that wherever I go, I will glow in the mighty name of Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. You have kept me going because of this prayer. Father God, please do not cease in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Put the second one on for us. It says, God, make my life. Let's say it together. God, make my life a little staff whereon the weak may rest, that so what health and strength I have may serve my neighbor's best. Best. My neighbor's best. So now you are going to turn it. It's not my neighbor's strength, it's my neighbor's best. Turn that into a prayer. That God should make your life a little staff so that the weak will rest on it. You may say, I am not strong, but the strength that you have is so much strength for somebody else. So why not just turn it into a prayer and say, Father God, I'm all looking up to you. I am looking up to you. Make my life continually a staff, oh Lord God, so those that are weak will be able to rest on me. Oh Lord God, because I'm resting on you and take that strength from you, I know that strength will be transformed to as many that are resting on me. In the mighty name of Jesus, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help my family, oh Lord God. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Right now we have some brethren on vacation, and there are some that will be going on vacation. So we are going to pray for safety. We're going to ask that the covering of the Almighty God will be upon everyone that has traveled, that God should bring them back, and those that will be going, that God should take them and bring them back home, including our pastor. So he's not on vacation, but let us also pray for him that he will come home safely. Let us pray. Travel mercies, journey mercies for all our members. Father God, eternal rock of ages, we thank you, O Lord God, that we have the opportunity to go on vacation. We have the opportunity to travel. Father God, I ask, O Lord God, that as many as have traveled, O Lord God, that you bring them safely back in the mighty name of Jesus. Let there be no evil associated to their travel in the mighty name of Jesus. And those that are yet to travel, Father God, I pray for your continual covering upon them in the mighty name of Jesus. We will not hear any bad news in the mighty name of Jesus. We decree and declare wellness. We decree and declare journey mercies for all our loved ones in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Now I want you to pray for yourself. This is a brand new week. What do you want? What do you want? Talk to God about it. Is it provision? Is it healing? Is it prayers for the children? What do you want? What do you want? Hirabasana rabakura basi. Inarabakura basi kimi naramanaraba. Sanarabakura basi kebukura basi. Sekinaramanarabakura basi kimi naramanarabo. Hirabase kebukura basanaramanarabo. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' wonderful name, we have prayed. Precious Father, we thank you. King of glory, we exalt you. We magnify your holy name. There is none like you, and there is none beside you. Thank you for the word that you have spoken to us. Thank you for reminding us, O Lord God, that the life that we are living is just not empty. That the steps that we take, they are not empty steps. That we are leaving prints wherever we go. Father God, we are asking you this morning that you continue to help us to leave positive, indelible prints in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, you have also told us that we have a lot, that we are loaded, that we have a lot. Help us, O Lord God, to release what we have so that you can use it in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father God, we are praying that you will help us, O Lord God, to present our bodies to you as living sacrifice. And even as the choir ministered to us and even as your word has spoken to us, help us, O Lord God, to acknowledge that you made great sacrifice for us. And you have taught us the way that we can multiply. Help us to make those sacrifices so that our lives will be better. Our lives will have that expected end that you have promised us in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for this brand new week. As we enter into this week, let goodness and mercy follow us. Let it be well with us and all our loved ones in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for not allowing us to go back the way we have come. Glory, honor, and adoration be unto your holy name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen.